Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
It's Power Hour LSU.
All righty, you're not going to get a let's go out of me because so many of us are so unfreaking believably depressed about this LSU offense and just this team. But the title of this video, LSU can get to 10-2 if this happens. Maybe they can get to 9-3 and sneak their way into the college football playoff. I got a text earlier today from Julie. She is the queen of PHL, one of our biggest supporters. And she said, Carter, I listen to all the shows. I listen to Hester. I listen to Moscona and all these shows. And it's depressing, and myself included, Blake, whoever. And it's sad because we started off the season on such a high note. And me in particular, because the offensive film in particular this last weekend was so troublesome, and we're kind of in limbo about Garrett Nussmeier's injuries, and we feel like we're being lied to or misled, if you will, we're worried. We are worried sick. But I'm looking at you. I promise we're going to get to every single chat, because sometimes when I'm doing this, I'm worried about the chat, and I want to make everyone feel like they're a part of this PHL family, if you will, as a part of the bigger LSU family. College football is in a weird spot right now where no one is really all that good. The best team in the SEC on tape right now is Alabama. Would you have said that after week one? No, not at all. In fact, we were in the same spot where in 2022, LSU lost a season opener versus Florida State. And what happened for the rest of the season? We became a pretty good team playing in the SEC championship game. Same thing in 2023, where we lost the season opener and we ended up having a Heisman Trophy winner along with an all-time bad defense. So the thing is, while we are worried about how bad LSU is, there are so many teams on our schedule that have shaky resumes, shaky position groups, shaky identities. So for us, while we do wallow in the negative and we do worry about Garrett Nussmeier's health, we at the same time need to bask in the ambiguity of what the current SEC is. Think about it, when we had better teams than this one, in the mid-2010s, those Leonard Fournette teams, where we felt really good about those teams, but we knew big, mighty Alabama was out there. That's not the case. So be very lucky that we are heading into a bye week. This could not have been, in the history of LSU football, a better timed bye week. I feel in the past, we never really had bye weeks because they were a little bit later in the season, and they were always a week before Alabama. So what are we really getting that extra week of rest when Alabama was also having a bye? So this is a good time to readjust and have an honest conversation about the current state of LSU football. And at the same time, while we shout back and forth about whose fault is this and whose fault is that, understand that we are very fortunate to only have one loss. So that's a very positive spin on where we are right now. We can still get to 10-2 if a lot of things fall in our favor. You don't know what type of QB injuries could happen. You don't know what type of coaching changes could happen for some of the schools left on our schedule. You don't know. So we're in a good spot with where we are offensively. Now, before we get to all your comments and super chats and thank yous and that, let's talk simply about the big elephant in the room, which is the quarterback play and the overall offensive structure. Now, while Garrett Nussmeier isn't fully healthy, what we do know is that the message board rumors are going crazy. People are acting like they really do know what's going on. I will give you a gazillion percent honesty here. I don't know for a gazillion percent certain how badly Garrett Nussmeier is injured. Whether it's the rumored oblique or the leg injury or whatever. But let's go by what Brian Kelly himself said in the preseason and over the past month or so that Garrett Nussmeier was on a pitch count. I do believe Garrett had a little bit of what's called a camp arm. It is clearly worn down. Garrett Nussmeier at the same time doesn't feel confident. You can tell even in some of his throws. There's not a lot of oomph in there, not only in terms of velocity, but in terms of confidence. And like we said on Sunday night, while Garrett got away with this some of the time, right now he's doing a lot of guessing. So there's a lot of things that's wrong with him, and a guy like Michael Van Buren could potentially be a spark to this team. But this is the same thing that happened in the middle of 2022 when I was defending Jaden Daniels while at the same time criticizing him. I always get labeled a Garrett Nussmeier homer or someone that goes too soft on him for whatever reason. I do need to hammer home that this is the worst offensive supporting cast that a quarterback at LSU has had in a very long time. That does not absolve one of his worst red zone turnovers we have ever seen. That does not absolve him underthrowing Chris Hilton on a walk-in deep ball touchdown, which would have exercised a lot of demons for Chris Hilton's game, knowing what transpired in 2023 with him at Ole Miss. That really would have unlocked Chris's confidence in this overall offensive confidence. I'm not absolving him of the situation, but this is where it's about to get really testy, okay? I understand the Brad Davis criticism, and it is very valid. But if I see another LSU offensive lineman fall on their damn face for no reason at all, it's going to drive me insane. If I give you a Power Four conference scholarship, I don't care if it's at LSU, I don't care if it's at Arkansas, I don't care if it's at Virginia, I don't give a shit. Stay on your damn feet. Quit falling down for no reason. This is college football. You need to be grounded, not on the ground. Quit falling over yourself. What are we doing? It's like we are blocking in the run game with bowling pins. It drives me crazy. Okay? Stay on your feet. Stop falling down. It is lunacy that it happens so many times. And it's not just the offensive line. And Garrett, when you finally get good protection, rip that damn thing. Rip it. Throw it up. Arguably the best quarterback in the SEC right now is Ty Simpson. But before this past weekend, Joey Aguilar had a good case of being the best. And what was Joey Aguilar's big criticism going into Tennessee? He throws too many picks. And this past weekend, he was shaky. He was throwing the ball high or whatever. But you know what he did? He threw the damn thing up and allowed a guy by the name of Chris Brazel to go up there and have a reasonable shot of making a play. Now, Chris Brazel would be by far the best receiver on our team right now. And we could get into a conversation about not having a true X out there or whatever. But Garrett, if you can't rip a simple go, bench yourself. Stop it. Okay? Then it is unacceptable that the LSU running back room right now has a wide receiver as its best option to carry the football and a converted defensive back and quarterback being as the RB2. It is a mess. All of it is a mess. But the funny thing is, I am not done. Ooh, I'm not done. The tight end room. I have a shorts editor. His name is Jace Max, and he does a really good job. And Jace Max was helping me with some content stuff. And he was like, you know what, Carter? We should do a bunch of shorts content on the tight end room. Because all the buzz in camp was Bauer Sharp and Tre'Dez Green. And my opinion on that remained relatively neutral. I was high on them as well. But I said at the time, Mason Taylor was so damn good. He was so damn good for us. And part of the struggles at times that Mason Taylor had was simply due to snap volume. That was it. And all the things we asked him to do. We are missing him so bad. I could make a very strong case that we are missing Mason more than we are missing Will Campbell. And I thought I would never say that. But Tyree Adams is doing better than in any of the tight ends. Okay? It is a mess. We are so badly missing Mason Taylor. Okay? Our tight ends drift in their route concepts, which is a problem. We broke it down in the film study. And we will do the second half film study this weekend since we don't have a game. Then they can't block. Mason could block some. So if our tight ends are struggling, why don't we play someone that actually has real tight end experience? And his name is Donovan Green, who played one snap this past weekend. I would give it a shot because Tre'Dez is playing so badly right now. He is not really a tight end. He is really, really, really struggling. He might not be fully healthy with the leg injury. Then Bauer Sharp is really struggling. I do Oklahoma film studies. I did an Oklahoma film study for every game last year. His blocking was so wildly inconsistent. And yes, it was nice that he caught 40-plus passes, but a lot of that was volume. No one else was going to catch it. So he's been fine. Obviously, he had the big catch versus Florida, had a touchdown versus his old school in Southeastern. He's been okay, but the big fumble versus Clemson, the big drop this weekend, and he's not a great blocker either. So before we get to any of your comments, it is important to point out that right now on offense, we can't do anything right. Normally, even bad offenses, even the Brandon Harris offenses, we did some things right. We did some things right. The Anthony Jennings offenses, we did some things right. But really, go down the list of all the different things that good offenses do. And there really is only one thing that the LSU offense does well, which is suck. No, I'm kidding. I needed a quick joke to break up this this rant here. But we're good in the screen game. Quick screens to the outside. Whoop-de-freaking-do. Every single high school is good on quick screens into the flats. Turn, throw, block decently. And guess what? We struggled with that this weekend as well. We have numbers. Cal Parker gets a screen to the outside. Barrett Sharp blows into him and tackles him himself. It's a problem. It is a massive, massive, massive problem. Okay? Now, once again, I promise, I keep pushing your comments back, but I do need to be positive about one thing. After rewatching this game this past weekend, and you guys know I'm always hesitant to compare people to the legends of the past, but AJ Halsey is as good as the GOATs. I'm just saying it right now. He's as good as those guys. All right? He'll never surpass Jamal Adams or Chad Jones or whoever because those guys played multiple years and it would be disrespectful. But he is playing at that level right now. At that level. Okay? And the Ole Miss game is a top five safety performance I have ever seen at LSU. It's up there with some of those Grant Delpit sack games and Chad Jones versus Mississippi State and Chad Jones. Well, there's a lot of Chad Jones games you could point to. But the Ole Miss game, I get chills thinking about this. Okay, I understand we lost and we want to be negative and all of that. But I do want to hammer home how good this guy is. He is so good. Like, just really break down all the things he did. Bats the football out of the hands of Caden Lee as he's running into the end zone. Huge play. Then, on the deep over to Caden Lee later in the half, shoestrings him as the last line of defense. Does he score there? I don't know, but he's gaining at least 10 to extra 15. Then, all the run fills. There were times where our defensive line was getting washed out, only a 2 or 3 yard gain because, well, guess who's there? Number 13. Y'all, he is that good. It looks kind of different because so many safeties now are slender, like Victoria's Secret models, but he's thick. You guys know I freaking love me some thickness at the college football level. Holy crap. The SEC is a force equals mass times acceleration league. AJ Halsey is a real deal. He is a real deal and then some. And it's not just him. Obviously, Mansoor Delane, we've already spoke poetic about him. He's going to be a first-round pick. Then, of course, you have DeMarcus Cooley, who was really good in this game this past weekend. But holy crap, AJ Halsey is moving up the all-time safety ranks. Now, he's not going to get into the Mount Rushmore. That's such a tough group to crack. But this year he's having is starting to be as good as those guys. It's starting to be that good. Okay. Now we're going to get to all the comments here. Oh my goodness gracious. I click on the one that just hates me. Can't watch this dude. Peace out. Oh, well, you're catching me at a good time. What am I going to do? With this channel of mine, without these nuts in your face supporting me. Oh, man. What am I going to do? How will I move forward without these nuts in your face supporting me on Power Hour LSU. I'm going to call Abort Therapy and tear up the agreement. I'm going to call our friends at 4-5 Gulf Coast and say, sorry, guys, we got a good thing going, but we got to end it because I do not have the support anymore of these nuts in your face, who is totally anonymous, who is using a username that you make when you're 13. So no one was going to respect your opinion anyway, these nuts in your face. Nobody. How about this? I'm not going to block you because one day you're going to come back in and be like, well, dang, what this guy was saying was right all along. Tari, I appreciate all your support. Sourdough Man, one of our members, he wants to talk about the offensive line. I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback look good without a decent offensive line. A running game can make a world of difference. It's not just a running game. You know, where it's so hard to play quarterback if you are constantly being pressured on rush three, drop eights. You've probably heard that all along. It's a problem. It's a big, big, big problem. But it's funny because as bad as this group has been, there are times where the LSU offensive line struggled. And guess what? Garrett was able to still overcome it. But Garrett is not as good as he was last year. Some of that is Kyron not being here, Mason not being here. That's why I went on a long rant about Mason a minute ago. Obviously, Will's not here anymore. But, you know, the guy that we're actually missing the most right now is Garrett Dellinger. Because what happened last year, the Garrett Dellinger injury was really bad for LSU on a few fronts. And this is something that Brian Kelly needs to answer going into next year. Okay. So let's just go through this LSU roster and a few decisions that they made on the macro level as far as the actual roster dynamics are concerned. Okay. So one thing that they decided to do, which was really smart, two of the highest snap volume players ever at LSU to return to the team after starting in year two was Ashton Stamps and DJ Chester. Okay. They played a lot. Ashton Stamps played more defensive snaps than anybody on the team last year. DJ Chester, the same thing offensively than anyone on the team. And they came back, and they're not even close to seeing the field. Not even close. Now, I will give Stamps a lot of credit. He has done a really good job motivating, and you guys know I love an active sideline, and that means a lot to me. And I like Ashton a lot. I know I've criticized him, but he's worked his ass off. It's not for a lack of trying. He has some major confidence issues going on with some of the dropped interceptions we saw earlier this year in mop-up duty, but the kid works hard, okay? And then obviously DJ Chester, who I've criticized nonstop last season, but I also said it wasn't his fault because we didn't even have a backup center. So we go get Braylon Moore, we go get Monsieur Delane, we go get DJ Pickett, and we have PJ Woodland step up, and those two have not played, okay? But at left guard, Paul Mbenga came back, and he played over 400 snaps, and he was not good last year. He was not good. On the road versus Florida, he was a big reason why we couldn't do anything offensively. He really struggled just treading water, if you will. So going into this season, we rolled with him again at left guard. It was either him or DJ Chester or Cohen Echols. Okay, so Chester, it's important to keep him healthy and have him as the number six offensive lineman because him and Mbenga are probably the same level of player, but Chester has a lot more value in that he has experience at all five of the positions, and that's a good, valuable piece to have coming off the bench. So Mbenga has played this year, and he has been arguably worse than he was last year. Then Cohen Echols had about as bad of a second half versus Ole Miss this past game. Overall, left guard is really tough. It's really, really, really tough. And the issues is masking it up. A lot of college football teams have weaknesses across their offense where there's at least one weakness, okay, that cannot be that you cannot put someone else in because you just don't have anyone else. A good example is Ole Miss this past weekend. The worst player on their team was their right guard, Patrick Custis. He was a transfer from Arkansas. Now, he's played better. He's better than our left guard. And he played fine this past weekend. But Lane does a good job of masking him, doing different things to not make him as big of a factor. If you watch really closely, there was plenty of instances where Bernard Gooden, you know, tore him up. But and Gooden overall had some really good snaps. But there were other instances where they used some of our defensive tackle aggressiveness against us. So, you know, to your point, Sourdough Man, yeah, the offensive line is bad. But last year, Garrett was able to do some things to overcome how bad DJ Chester was. He's not been able to do those same things with some of the offensive line struggles we've had. And look, if you look at this roster as a whole, the guys that are actually good and playing at or above expectations, Mansoor Delane has been above expectations. We thought he was going to be very good. I don't think anyone thought he would be the best corner in college football, which he is, according to PFF and Cam Meller, who's another grader. We probably didn't think A.J. Halsey would be one of the best safeties we've seen at LSU. He's really been that good. Maybe I'm overrating him after this Ole Miss game, but holy crap, he's really been that good. And then, of course, there's been others, right? Like Patrick Payton has been about what we expected. Same thing with Jack Pyburn. They're good. They're really good. Whit Weeks, Harold Perkins, they've been mostly fine up to this point. But offensively, how many of these guys have actually been above expectations? Not many. The only one you could point to is Xavion Thomas has been above expectations. The issue, though, is so many guys are not just below expectations. They are below expectations. They're bad. And it's a problem. It's a problem. Okay? Let's go to Malik. Once again, oh, yeah, I should have announced this at the beginning. We have a really fun guest coming up. He's a statistician, one of my favorite PHL guests. You've seen him quite a few times. He's done some really good analytical work on Twitter, and we'll talk to him here in a moment. Let's get to as many before we get to our guests. What do you think about Alex Atkins calling plays? It's a good question. I don't know Alex. I only know one person that is close to him. And we had him on the show after the Florida game. And he knew him from his Florida State days when Alex Atkins was at Florida State. And I would highly recommend you go listen to that interview. He shared if he thought Alex Atkins could call plays. Play calling is about experience, y'all. Like, the thing is, let's just say LSU were to come to me and say, hey, we want you to call the plays. I would say no. I've never done it before. I've never done it before. I would honestly trust like just some random high school in Vermont because they've done it. They put an actual headset on and called the shots. So Alex Atkins has, of course, been close to some of the best play callers. Did he ever really call the shots at Florida State? Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But, you know, I am open to something new. And then Brandon Huff brought this up, and, you know, some people brought up Cortez Hankton calling plays. So he's interviewed for offensive coordinator openings in the past, most notably with the Rams. Where in that spot, he would probably just be the OC in name because McVay is the guy there. You know, I will say this. This is coming from a pretty good Georgia source as far as Cortez Hankton is concerned. I reached out to him and said, hey, I've never talked to him before, by the way. I said, hey, do you think Cortez Hankton is a good wide receivers coach? Because remember, Georgia had just won the Natty, and he comes over back home to Louisiana, which is a shocking move, but it made sense to a lot of people involved. And he said, Carter, Cortez Hankton one day is going to be a great head coach. But as an actual position and play caller, he would be just good. Well, I asked him how he would do as a play caller, and he said he'd probably do good, but he feels he's more head coaching material. And you do bring up, how's Cortez Hankton done coaching this wide receiver room? Well, he's done really good. Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., and I understand, well, they weren't his recruits, they were here before and whatever, but he still coached them. But now we have so many wide receivers, so wide receiver rotation is tough. So with Cortez Hankton being the offensive coordinator, it gets a little difficult because play calling is so different than coaching your position group. And we've already had enough problems with getting our wide receiver rotation correct. Sibley coming in hot with the positive. Take a few more before the break. Looks like our guest is ready to go. I really don't think this gets much better without Nuss, says Micah. Is that Goku right there? Let's go to Dane. I love that Dane changes photo to Jack Daniels. I will tell you this. There's not many people that love LSU more than Dane Bergeron. I'm serious. He's not only a member for me, he's a member for Mr. Ruffino. The issues you are talking about are in the evaluation, coaching, and development. Who's responsible for that? Ultimately, it's Brian Kelly. Sunshine pumping as usual. I try to give both sides. I don't know if you could take what I said at the beginning is just pure sunshine pumping. Let's go to Skipper. What would have as a higher priority, a better OC with the same crappy OL or a good OL coach and the same crappy play calling? Well, I did speak to a former coach about this who's called plays before, and I said, hey, can elite play calling overcome bad offensive line coaching and bad offensive lines? He said yes. He said he had to deal with it as a college coach. Now, it was at a lower level, but he said you can call plays and still have a successful offense if your offensive line sucks. But that's the thing. It's one problem after a next. Okay. Now, coming up next, Mr. No Chill Sports. Man, he is one of the best graphic artists on Twitter, and he's going to have three different stats for you on this current LSU Tiger team. PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you? It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, Did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37%? If you are in South Louisiana, just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563, or visit fortifiedgulf.com. Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaBoardTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaBoardTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LaBoardTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region. The only man in LSU media that is willing to make a graphic about LSU's best player. Look at that. Look at that, Pooh Bear.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to Jamie Chadwick. Look at that, bro. Just absolutely taking our punting game to the next level. And with this offense, Pooh Bear, they need it. They need a good punter. And he stepped up big time.
Yeah. It's funny because you said three stats. I was like, oh, I should talk about the punting stat. Nah, I got some other ones. But I'm gonna tell you what really impressed me with this punting. All of 2024, he had 13 punts inside the 20. At the time that I made this graphic, which was I think before the Southeastern game, it may have been right after. He has 8 punts inside the 20 already this season. The hang time has increased. When your offense is struggling, your defense is your strongest unit on the field, special teams has to be there to step up, and punting is key in that.
What is one stat that stands out to you?
Oh, man. Actually, I pulled it up. And shout out to Ant Marshall for kind of pointing me in this direction. And he was showing me different things on PFF. And direction of running, specifically the direction we run that gets the most yard, or the one that we run the most versus the one we get the most yards. Where we run the most, A gap, specifically running on the left side of the center. We've so far this season 24 rushing attempts on that side. We've got 79 yards and a touchdown. Yards per carry, 3.3. Where we've gotten the most yards, and it's kind of skewed a little bit because of one run, but left end, 20 attempts, 160 yards, 8 yards per carry.
Right. It was that I formation.
Yeah. Carry. Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of skewed.
Let me ask you, yeah. You know, ball, you have a son that's playing power four ball. Do you think LSU should do more of that? Get under center, bring a fullback out there and see if it works.
I would say yes if they build passing concepts out of it.
Yes.
If you're just going to line up and I formation and run, it's pointless. As soon as you go out there, I'm stacking the box. If not, run some play action out of it. As a matter of fact, I would line up in I formation and probably run 5 pass plays, play action pass plays, and then start killing with the run. I know that's crazy. I'm over exaggerating, but still, literally, you have to have some kind of, disguise with it. I wouldn't mind I formation. Again, as long as you build some passing concepts out of it.
No Chill Sports joining us, Pooh Bear. Is there anything else statistically that has jumped out at you? Because, you make graphics all the time. They're great. What else is just.
Because of this past weekend, and it wasn't just because of LSU, but it made me go back and look. I pulled out the stats of the coaching some of the top coaches in the nation and their win percentage against just overall in the top 25. Brian Kelly to date versus top 25 is 5 of 9. Oh, I'm sorry, 5 and 9. So 5 of 14 against the top 25. That's a 35.7%. And it's bad. We all want that to be higher, of course. But you've got games like Saturday that just can't happen.
Yeah, and that stat gets worse because that includes Clemson, who was ranked.
Yeah, yeah. So that throws that in the mix. But the one thing I will say about that, because people bring up the Clemson game, if you look back at 2019, the times where we play, or the game where we played Texas was ranked, I mean, like top five. They were like number five at the time we played them, or top number nine, something like that. At the time that we played them, Texas was a really good team. Right. They finished the season 8-4, 7-5, or something like that. But I don't look at that 2019 team and say, oh, they were terrible. Look how they played against Texas.
Right. So there still is, what you're saying is there's still value because Clemson was probably deflated in after that. So
Clemson has battled injuries. They've got they don't have a – we talk about our running back depth. They've got a wide receiver playing running back.
We do too.
Yeah. One of their leading wide receivers was out. I think one of their big linemen was out as well. So it's hard for me to just completely discount them. I don't think they're a good team right now. Just like I look at LSU and don't think they're a extremely good team. I think we're capable, but until you clean up some stuff, man, don't nobody want to hear that.
Are you changing the quarterback?
If Nuss is hurt, as everybody's reporting, oh, he's just playing injured. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even have to hear any reports. Something's wrong. Every deep pass that he's thrown has fallen short. Chris Hilton had 3 touchdowns. All fall short. Barry Brown against La Tech falls short. Nick Anderson falls short. You've got a guy who you don't necessarily need him to take over and be your starting guy, but if you're trying to at least let Ness, you know, saying repair himself, heal himself, or however you want to look at it, you know, why not try him? He's got SEC experience. You don't need him to be, you know, all-star, all-caliber. You just really need him to manage the team, because the way your defense plays, if you can score 4 touchdowns, you can win a game.
I like that you're wearing the Houston hat, because we owe him quite a bit for A.J. Halsey playing the way that he's playing. Your thoughts on the LSU defense? I mean, for me, it just seemed that this was a good game. I understand they played a lot of snaps. It's hard to play defense when the offense is playing the way that it's playing. But the mark of a good defense is getting off the field on third down. And I just couldn't get over those pitch and catch third down completions. It was ugh.
I knew that this Ole Miss game, the defense would stumble, and it wasn't anything in relation to the defense per se. If you're on the field a lot more than usual, you're going to stumble. You will find a point in time where you'll rally back and probably, you know, find that second win, but that's no excuse for some of the third downs they gave up. But I do think, again, being on the field as long as they were, that's an issue. Your offense got to help you out. That's basically.
You look at LSU's schedule. Is there a pathway to let's start at 9-3? Yeah, I mean, do you think that's?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you say that with confidence, you see the title of the video, LSU can get to 10-2 if this happens. You think there's a real pathway?
Yeah, so you've got to rally back. Can't lose in October. You've got to – this is going to sound crazy to say this. You've got to come out with your best game against Oklahoma and Vanderbilt. Of all teams, Vanderbilt, because both of those games are on the road. Yeah. You've got to be strong in those games. The Bama game – It was going to be tough beforehand, just simply because I think the mental aspect of it is there. Same thing with Kirby. There are just some people who struggle against certain teams. Who is it? Dan Lanning versus anybody coached by DeBoer? Georgia, yeah, Alabama.
Yeah, that is a good one. Lanning can't beat. Yes, yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, so you've got – I mean, that's a mental thing. If we call that one a wash, you've got to win on – if you can hold strong at home and win on the road, 10-2 can be in your hands, in your grasp. So,
the best teams in college football to you right now are who?
Ooh.
Are you a Miami guy? Are you – what's the –
I'm not buying Miami right now. I think Miami is good. I'm not buying Miami. I still think that – I think Georgia is a good team. But we're talking about the best teams. I've got to name, of course, Ohio State right now. We still haven't fully seen them.
I think it's got to be Ohio State right now.
Yeah, it's – I'll know even more Saturday. I think Texas Tech is strongly building the case, but they got to go down to H-Town this weekend. So that's one I'm keeping my eyes on. I think Houston is a year away, so I can't even, throw them in there. But I do think that the Big 12 is going to have somebody who's going to really shock some people. So, and I think it's Texas Tech.
Oh, you're talking yourself into the Red Raiders.
Yeah, I don't like it, but yeah, I can see it. So,
oh, you're buying into the old money. Oh my goodness gracious, yeah. I didn't expect that from you. Now their defensive line's really good. That's a good team. Pooh Bear is his name. No Chill Sports. I know you have some other obligations you have to go to. Make sure you go give them. Make sure you go give them a follow. Last thing for me to you.
Mm-hmm.
True or false, the New Orleans Pelicans make the NBA playoffs?
Ooh.
It's not a hum. It's not a, I just need a yes or no.
I honestly.
Come on. Come on.
I'm gonna say no. I want them to. I'm gonna say
come
no.
on. Come on, man. Come on.
I'm trying to think who in the West is gonna take that. I didn't think somebody who was in the playoffs is gonna and no Pelican disrespect will be tolerated. I think that the West, they can make it. I'm trying to figure out who's going to fall out of the playoffs. That was kind of a free
maybe the Warriors might be washed. Steph up again.
Yeah. I'm thinking Memphis is the prime suspect in this one for some reason. They're sticking out of my mind. I think Houston, the Rockets are. Hold on one second. I'm sorry. I think they are it's hard to argue against Houston. Nuggets, the Timberwolves, Dallas. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think there's a path for them to get there. How many games does Zion play? Over, under 60?
I thought you were going to say 6, and I was like, I might take the under. Now I'm gonna go over.
He's over 60, they make it.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope you're right.
True. Ant says the Clippers have fallen off. So, Cardi, you didn't ask me my third stat too.
Oh yeah, that's right. We do have one more. Let's go. Let's end on a bang.
And people may get a little upset with this one. It was a hot topic a couple years ago. Nobody's talking about this ADOT number anymore, and I want to figure out why we're not talking about this ADOT number. Because it is 7.6 right now. So I'm trying to figure out what is going on.
All right. For those that don't know, ADOT is average depth of target. Okay, so that means how far are you throwing the football every time you actually do throw it. So if you do throw an incompletion, it counts. It still counts towards your ADOT. And 7.6 isn't that big.
Yeah, 7.6.
Well, actually, in some ways, it's big, but in this sense, it's not. But yeah, is it that low of an ADOT? I would need to go look because in the NFL, everybody's ADOT is down, but in college, you can have some higher ones.
Yeah, right now, Garrett's ADOT is 7.6. Ironically, Xavion Thomas has a higher ADOT at 9.
That's weird. I wouldn't have guessed that, knowing how his routes have been run. But there you go. Yeah. You can check him out. No Chill Sports. We appreciate all your statistical work, all his fancy schmancy graphs. Yeah. You do Heisman graphs every week, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, thank you. Hey, shout out to Ant with all the great suggestions on stats. I say, man, what are we gonna do today? And he throws up something. He'll tell me something. I'm like, I like it. Let's do it. Shout out to Ant, man.
Let's go, Ant Marshall.
Couldn't do it without him.
There we go. All right, buddy. We'll talk soon, and hopefully, I'm back on with you guys pretty soon, man.
All right, we'll do. Appreciate it, man.
All right, see you. Pooh-air. I'm telling you, you got to go follow. The graphs are amazing. He's got a gazillion stats. Honestly, don't care about the Pelicans making the playoffs this year because I know how hard it is in the West. And my basketball heart has been broken thanks to Flage. It's been repaired and Kim Mulkey. But the Pelicans sucking and LSU men's basketball sucking, I just can't do it. I just cannot do it. It is a problem. And I'm going to say it, even though it should just be football-only streams right now. Matt McMahon, make the damn tournament. That's all I ask. That's all I ask, dude. Make the tournament. I just want you to be one of the 68 teams to make the tournament. Just one. Let's go to Marcus. I don't trust Nuss anymore. Feels like he is a sellout. I don't think he's a sellout. I do think you need to ask a few questions about how this injury has been handled from all parties involved. Let's go to Zachary. Look at the difference in snaps between the first and second half. What was it? So we had 24 snaps in the first half, and I think Ole Miss had 48. And then I think those discrepancies pretty much stayed the same, and they played about 20, 25 snaps more. I'm telling you, the game that Ole Miss played versus us felt so much like the Florida game, except the snap totals were reversed. But it's a problem. Like, there are just so many games where LSU just feels woefully unprepared and woefully overmatched. And, you know, I saw this in one of my chats, this quarterback play with this recruiting class. So what I decided to do was really take a look at our high school football recruiting And I was looking at the charts, and my buddy J. Bud Davis tweeted this out today, and we love J. Bud. He said that we had the best offensive line recruiting in the SEC outside of Alabama since 2022 up to this point. And we have the worst offensive line in the SEC right now. Imagine if we didn't get Braylon Moore. And even though he's struggling right now, imagine if we did not have Josh Thompson. If we did not get Josh Thompson, our starting right guard would, I don't know who it would be. I have no idea. But this is a, and what I want you to do, and I'll save a good bit of this for tomorrow's live stream because we have some deeper offensive line analytics that were sent to me today by J. Bud Davis, but this will be part of the stream tomorrow. Okay. With the offensive line being as bad as it is right now, what you really need to do is ask every single question about every single aspect of offensive line play, development, recruiting, all those different things. And it will give you a better idea, potentially, of what the problem actually is, okay? You know, many say, hey, offensive line is a chemistry position. Getting a bunch of snaps together really does matter. I tend to push back on that notion. In the transfer portal era, guys can jump on new teams and be great immediately. That's the case with us right now. Our best players, by far, are the transfers. We either paid the most or a mixture of that, along with the recruiting and all of it, they came in there immediately our best players. And that's just the case right now. Our best offensive line is a center in Braylon Moore. But the thing that really bothered me, and I said it at the time, and I'll bring it up again, the political nature of how we distributed our spring offensive line snaps for portal gymnastics. Because if we put Braylon Moore with the first team the entire time, it might cause some other players to transfer and all of that. It ended up not mattering because the offensive line's not good. Then you get into the ridiculous amount of luck it took for Weston Davis to not play versus Ole Miss, to get an injury in pregame warmups. Do you know how rare pregame warmup injuries are? They're rare. They're really not all not common at all. And it finally took that long for us to not play him. We put Kerryius Kern in there. And he had a better game than Weston Davis had in the entire season. All right. So let's go down this rabbit hole here. Why do you always focus on our offensive line? It might not be great, but they've only given up 4 sacks this year. That's not the reason for our struggles. Well, I'm glad you brought this up because you're not the only one that has brought this up. I feel like I have been fair throughout the course of this live stream, distributing the blame to basically everyone that is involved with this offense. There is no single bright spot on this offense right now. Not a single one. Maybe some. But let's talk about sacks. There is no stat in football that is more overrated for an individual success than sacks. And I'm not just talking about from a defensive perspective, but from an offense perspective. So last year, Garrett Nussmeier was arguably the best quarterback in all of college football when it comes to sack avoidance. So what does that mean? Well, he still had high pressure rates, but he was good at just getting the football out. if an offensive guard is pushed into your lap and you throw the football, that's not good pass protection. Do you know how many times Weston Davis has been beat around the corner and Garrett has to wiggle out and throw the ball away, or you know, into the half versus Southeastern, has to roll out to the left and make an amazing throw to Xavion Thomas? Always, when you're pointing to the statistic of sack, don't just live and die by it. Now, it is something, but don't let sacks fool you. All right, so after the Louisiana Tech game, which was also not a great offensive line game, there's a lot of tweets. LSU offensive line gives up zero sacks in that game. Was it a good game by them? No. By any measure of actually watching the game, it was not a good game. So versus Ole Miss, how many sacks did they give up? One-ish. All right. Did they have a good game? No. No. But like I said, when you criticize, and this is just it because this is a live stream and people come and go, like the gas station, they're popping in and out, which is fine. And there's a lot of different things going on at one time. Let me just make this blanket statement, and I will when I'm live for basically every 5 minutes. Everybody on the offense bears some of this blame. Every single person does. Like anybody that is involved in the tiniest amount of this offense deserves blame to different degrees. Okay? Now, in the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this thing going. And one thing I would bring up here is no one right now on this team, on the offensive side of the football, is special. Okay? You know one guy that could bail you out of a lot of these struggles? Malik Nabers could. Okay? He could. Caden Durham, if he's fully healthy, I think is special enough to dig you out of some of these situations. Like he did versus Clemson. He had a few plays in that game that were truly magisterial. And he's done it a few times over the past couple of weeks. But to go along with all these different things, this is the weakest wide receiver room we've had in a very long time, especially factoring in an unhealthy Aaron Anderson moving forward. It's a problem. But like I said, it's part of why they're not having as good of a season is Garrett's not having as good of a season. And part of why Garrett's not having as good of a season is the offensive line's not having as good of a season. And part of why the offensive line's not having as good of a season is the play calling hasn't gotten better. And the play calling hasn't gotten better because the communication from head coach to offensive coordinator's not gotten better. And guess what happens? You add a new tight ends coach into the equation. And his job is to repair this tight end room after the best tight end in LSU history left the program to go to the NFL. And our tight end room is a problem. And part of why our tight end room is a problem is that our offensive line is a problem and the quarterback's a problem. It's a never-ending circle. So, to me, as I rewatch the game and we're getting ready for the final film study from the Ole Miss game, and we'll light a match and burn it for the rest of eternity, there is a piece that says, hey, even if you think Garrett Nussmeier is good and you want to extend time for him to get healthier, if you want to do those things, sure. But would a healthier Garrett Nussmeier still fix this? Probably not. Not with what all is wrong with this unit. And on top of that, will Joe Sloan get better? I don't know. The only thing that you can do right now, based on what we've seen, is put Michael Van Buren in. Because there is no tape out there with Michael Van Buren as the quarterback for LSU. There is none. So that gives you an advantage because, well, defensive coordinators don't know what they're walking into. It does give them a different look. So while I personally am not as gung-ho of just taking number 18 out and putting Van Buren in, there is truth to this giving a good team in South Carolina. They're not a great team. They're a good team. Something they haven't seen. A good example was this past weekend. We don't know if Jackson Dart's going to be good, but they were heavy underdogs. Malik Nabers has the terrible injury, and guess what? They still win the game versus arguably the best team in the NFL up to this point, the Chargers. They still win the game. Part of it is the Chargers had no tape on Jackson Dart. None. Zero, zip, zilch, nada. So you would have some of that with Van Buren as your quarterback. You would. Yeah, Jace Max, we just shouted you out a minute ago. Oh, yeah, we have a South Carolina Gamecock in here. Good, not great, you say? I don't think you're a great team. I'll say it to your face. If your actual face, Xavier Hill, was on, I would say it to you. I bet you guys to cover. I love the South Carolina Gamecocks. I do. I did radio in Greenville, Spartanburg for a few years. And the funny thing was I wasn't even living there. They just sent me a thing and said, hey, do your thing. And I freaking adored it. I loved it. I loved it. Greenville, Spartanburg, ooh, that's a good region. I still have never been, though. How could I do radio there for that long and not actually go there? It's the power of the internet. I don't know. So there you go. Alexander says 20 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, and SEC play is not good enough. Gravitation, state, grotivation, state of the team, bragging about the punting. All right, y'all. That is going to do it for me. I will be live with Mr. Blake Ruffino here in just a second. So leave my channel, go to AYS Sports, and I will be on there sharing a few extra thoughts on LSU, some of which you probably haven't heard here already. And there you go. Big thanks to our guest, Pooh Bear. And once again, big thanks to our partners, Zion Imaging. Make sure you book your spin booth experience today, xyan360.com, and our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and The Board Therapy. Make sure you check it out. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Oh, you know it's bad when people aren't super chat. We didn't get a single super chat tonight. People are mad. See, LSU, now you're hurting my pocketbook. I'm kidding. Tonight we are doing we're doing steaks. Let's go.